He's Eugene Bound this week. You can find his work for USA Today online at usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, a fine Wednesday to you, sir. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Great. Last week, I cited your preview of Wisconsin and Michigan where you said, this is your grandfather's Big Ten football. And I said, hey, I'm a grandfather now, and I couldn't wait for that game. I would say 14-10, a little misleading as the Wolverines' mystery field goals. Their defense didn't allow anything. What was it, 160 total yards? You were at the game. The score maybe not tell the whole story?
Yeah, it didn't, but I came away thinking Michigan is really good, and I've now seen Michigan and Ohio State. I came away thinking Ohio State is easily the best team in the Big Ten. I think Michigan is a good top 6, 7, 8 team, but I think Michigan's got a really nice defense. I don't think Wisconsin stressed that defense as much as some others will, and I think Ohio State is going to stress it tremendously. And I don't think Michigan's offense. You're right. They left 9 points on the board, and maybe, you know, in some other games, you're not kicking for three. You're scoring a touchdown on some of those drives. I don't think Michigan's offense can keep up with the elite of the elite, and I think Ohio State is one of those.
Would I be accurate in saying the danger with Ohio State is they were young, and by the time they play Michigan November 26th, they're going to have a whole season under their belt,
yeah,
and if they come together, watch it?
I think that's fair, except they've already come together. Listen, they did in week three in Norman against Oklahoma. They outplayed any of their former teammates who left early or their eligibility expired or whatever from last year. Remember last year they were the most talented team in football. Everybody expected to roll through the season, and they struggled for much of the year. And ultimately cost them a shot at a playoff and defending their national title. This team appears to be just as talented as that team, younger, but playing at that level we thought that last year's team would play at.
No, they look just loaded for bear. They're fast. They're just, wow. Yeah, they're kind of scary. We'll continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. I used your term all week with Clemson-Louisville, not as an eliminator, but an accelerator. With Oregon being so awful, we caught a lot of that game. Good on the Tigers, who heaped praise on Lamar Jackson after, but you've got to feel that point you made justified. There's no way you could look at Louisville and think they're out of it.
No, you watch that game, and look, it's always better to win than to lose, but that is as good a loss as you can ever have. If you think about the entire circumstances, who it was to, how well you played, how close you came to winning it, where it was played, all of those things, Louisville looks spectacular. And look, they've got to run the table, but if they run the table, that would include beating Houston on a Thursday night in November. I think they will do that probably. You know, look, we're thinking no injuries when we project and all this
sure.
kind of stuff. But if they run the table and they're 11-1, and they don't win their division in the ACC because Clemson also runs the table, and that's important here, and wins the ACC, then in a couple of leagues be that first non-champion from a Power 5 league to get in, and for the ACC to have be the first league with two teams in, you know, one half of a 4-team bracket. It's not that hard to dream up. First of all, most of us think that it's unlikely the Big 12 champion, whoever that is, whether it's Baylor or West Virginia, or I think it might be more likely Oklahoma, they're not getting in the playoff, I don't think. And I don't think Baylor or West Virginia's run the table. And Oklahoma's out of it with the two losses. So if you say that the Big 12's out, now all you really need to have happen is potentially the Pac-12 to be out, which could happen. Right now, Washington is the Pac-12's best hope for the playoff. Because Stanford's loss would have been a good loss on the road against a good team, except for how bad the loss
right.
was, and that's going to be hard for the committee to overlook if Stanford's in the mix at the end. So if Washington takes a loss or two and wins the title, or if Washington takes a loss or two and Stanford somehow wins it or somebody else wins it, and the Pac-12's out and the Big 12's out, now all of a sudden you've got some interesting situations, and I think you could fairly easily see how it could happen this year. That's that's how well they played and how much they're held in high esteem, I think, right now.
Yeah, and afterwards, I thought what happened with the Clemson coaches and players should be documented and passed around from Pop Warner on up. They could not say enough good things about Lamar Jackson and that team. It was like sportsmanship, and we know sometimes the knuckleheads grab the headlines, but wasn't that refreshing to see and hear?
Yeah, you know, it was, but I would have a little bit different take on it. I'm not saying they weren't being sportsmanlike, but what I am saying is they were just on the business end, the receiving end of a spectacular performance by a player who, you make any of the comparisons you want, he may outshine them all by the time it's over with. He certainly looks like that so far this year anyway. I mean, are we talking about Vince Young with Michael Vick's legs? I mean, what are we looking at here? You know, Vince Young's with Michael Vick's legs and frankly, Michael Vick's throwing ability, too. I mean, you know, we're looking at a guy who can slice you and dice air like the best of the pocket passers, but he might be the best of the runners, too. And he's got the uncanny sort of I know when and how to make you miss that they don't all have, too. I mean, so I think it's great that they were being sportsmanlike. I also think they were just acknowledging the reality that they had just gone up against a guy who whipped them, basically.
No, that's a good point. Maybe I was heaping too much praise.
Well, no, I mean, there's something to be said for that, because we've seen guys say dumb things after some guy just owned them, and they still act like, oh, he's not that good. So to their credit, to the Tigers' credit, they did say that. Now, it's probably easier to say when you won. I'm guessing they would have said it either way, though, because you know, it was that special of a performance by Lamar Jackson.
No, he's fabulous. Let's get to the SEC. Tennessee survived App State. They rally out of a big hole. They beat Florida. And then a Hail Mary to beat Georgia last week. Good on the Vols, but you wrote about it. They're not really doing it the easy way. They're winning for sure, but they're addressing the fact that they're digging themselves these ridiculous holes, aren't they?
Well, they're trying to, but I don't know that there's any way to fix it. They've changed up the way they do stuff. They've changed up the way they practice. They've gone to having sort of team live period, which is, you know, 11-on-11 full contact if it's a full contact day, right at the beginning of practice, which is not generally how that works. You usually kind of work your way into that. They've done all sorts of stuff to try to figure out a way, how can we jumpstart our systems to where we play better in the first half? I don't know that any of that stuff would work. To this point, it hasn't. And I'll tell you this, too. It's one thing, it's special that they came back from 17-0 at Georgia. And then, you know, we're all sort of fixated on the Hail Mary that it took. But they had really played a really good second half to get to that point. But it gets tougher from here. They're at College Station against Texas A&M. Texas A&M is playing really well right now. They've got a big-time defense with two big-time defensive ends. The week after week after this, they host Alabama in Knoxville. I mean, you start slow in the next 2 weeks, and you're liable to get beat by 30.
Yeah, so, that's going to be let's say that's going to be telling.
Yeah, I mean, they just, you know, and they don't have to. It's not even so much their offense started slow; it's that their defense has sort of given up these early points too.
I mentioned your destination is here, one of your old stopping grounds. We're going to see Washington. We haven't seen Washington since this good, since I was 40 and I'm now 56. They played, obviously, a weak non-league schedule and then squeaked by at Arizona. You mentioned they're kind of the banner carrier for the Pac-12 to make the playoffs. How sold are you on the Dogs? Or are you like, you know what, so far so good. Can we talk late Saturday night?
We always overdo these sort of one-game performances, but that was a really, really impressive one-game performance on that Friday night in Seattle against Stanford. Nobody's done that to Stanford, really, since Jim Harbaugh got the program cranked up.
Right.
Nobody has done that to Stanford, where they shut them down and blew them out on the offensive end, and you know, blew them out offensively and shut them down defensively completely, and it was really impressive. Can they replicate that? I don't know. I mean, look, on the other hand, has obviously been struggling. Very well, and the Ducks haven't played well, maybe all season, but certainly not in this three-game losing streak. They really haven't played well against teams that do not appear to be nearly as good as Washington. Now, it's a rivalry game. it's a huge game. And the fact that there's a 12-game losing streak in the series for the Huskies shouldn't be overlooked. I think that's a psychological hurdle. You know, Tennessee had to overcome something similar with Florida. The 11-game losing streak they overcame, you know, a week ago or whatever it was. I think that becomes a piece of the obstacle that they face as much as sort of the Ducks themselves are. And so it'll be interesting to see if the Huskies can come off an impressive performance that was a pretty emotional win, and now go up against sort of the mental ghosts that have kind of haunted their program. I think they'll win it. You know, I think they're just flat better. It's pretty clear the Ducks are struggling, but I guess it's a long, long, long way of saying I'm not completely sure that they are as good as the team that won 44-6 over Stanford. I do think they're pretty good and have a pretty high ceiling.
All right, George, you're just cracking a little bit, so I know you're driving. I want you to be safe and get out here for this game. So we'll do a kind of a semi-early wrap-up, and always fun talking with you. And I'll have this conversation face-to-face in a few days.
I am looking forward to it. I love getting back to Cascadia.
All right. Have a good one, George.
See ya.
Cascadia. I like that. That's what he wrote in one of his articles.